Chapter 3. Breathing and gas exchange. When we breathe, air is drawn in and out of the lungs, so that gas exchange can take place between the air and the blood. This chapter looks at these processes, and also deals with some ways that smoking can damage the lungs and stop these vital organs from working properly. Okay, brief little summary. Breathing is the ventilation, so it's the air entering the lungs and then leaving it once it's done all the stuff in your body which it needs to. Not respiration. Respiration is the equation where glucose is combined with air, and carbon dioxide and other stuff is produced, and essentially that provides your energy for cells. But that's chapter one, I think. So yeah, this is essentially breathing and gas exchange, I suggest. So the structure of the gas exchange system. The lungs are enclosed in the chest or thorax by the ribcage and a muscular sheet of tissue called the diaphragm. Okay, the lungs are not just sort of floating there in midair, so to speak, but they're surrounded by this fluid, the pleural fluid, and that's important, as we'll move on to see. In your chest are the ribs, the solid sets of bones, but between the ribs, and importantly for this, are the external intercostal muscles and the internal intercostal muscles. So, I'll start from the top. Breathing in. When we breathe in, air enters our nose or mouth and passes down the windpipe or trachea. The trachea splits into two tubes called the bronchi, one leading to the bronchioles, and eventually ending up at the microscopic air stacks called alveoli. The way it's actually drawn into the lungs, the air that is, that's the external intercostal muscles contract. This pulls the ribs up and it expands them, but also the diaphragm contracts. This pulls the diaphragm down, essentially. So, as the pleural fluid is a fluid, it's liquid, it cannot compress. So your lungs, so something has to fill the space. And there can't be a vacuum there, otherwise your lungs just... Yeah, it wouldn't work, essentially. So the lungs expand to fill the space. This expansion causes a reduction in air pressure. This reduction in air pressure draws the air all along that long list of tubes I just said, and deep into the lungs. When we breathe out, everything relaxes. Everything I just said doesn't contract, and it just relaxes. And this causes the reverse to happen, so your lungs, as a result, get smaller as they're pushed in, and they're kind of elastic, so they contract in their own way. And that forces air out, because there's higher pressure, and higher pressure causes air to be pushed out. This repeats, as I'm sure you're obviously aware, as we're all still alive, and yeah. The airway actually has to be kept open and clean, so around all those tubes are these cartilage rings. They're C-shaped if you're looking at it from above, and they essentially stop the air pipe from just closing up on itself. But there's also the cilia. The cilia are these little things which push dirt out of the airways. This keeps the lungs free from infection and general build-up of carcinogens and stuff like that. The way the alveoli actually work, which is, I think, the very end of that long list, is that it's diffusion. So, respiration uses up oxygen and produces carbon dioxide. This means there's a higher concentration of carbon dioxide in the blood and a lower concentration of oxygen in the blood compared to the air in the alveoli. This means that since there is air in the alveoli, there is a transfer. There's a net movement of carbon dioxide from the blood into the alveoli, and a net movement of oxygen into the blood from the alveoli. This means that the body is continuously supplied with oxygen, and the waste product, that is carbon dioxide, is excreted. Obviously, there needs to be lots of space to do it, and it's a gradual process. Fortunately, the body has 700 million of these alveoli, about 60 meters squared in total, which is a reasonable amount. So it can get it done no matter how gradual. smoking. The smoking is, well, you all know what it is, but it's what it does to the lungs is, firstly, it can cause emphysema, another thing, so it reduces the surface area of the alveoli more and more the more and more smoked, meaning that less oxygen can be transferred into the blood, meaning that people have to breathe deeper or breathe more, and it's harder to do exercise in general. And it can be fatal if someone smokes too much. Another effect is that the cilia are destroyed by the hot smoke, or they're damaged, which means that all of the dirt can get in, and those infections I was speaking of earlier also get in. So bronchitis, it seems to say, you get bronchitis in your lungs if you smoke more easily because of the reduced numbers of cilia. Finally, it's possible to get lung cancer because inside the gas, the smoke itself, is there's ash and there's tar and there's mutagens like radon gas and carcinogens and all of that great stuff, and they can cause, well, that can cause mutations inside your lungs, and those mutations can kill or just severely injure. And so, I mean, there's a whole list of statistics, pages 32 and 33 of the book, is about that, so I'm not going to bother reading them out. And, no, not finally, and there can be carbon monoxide in smoke. Carbon monoxide, because of the way it's structured, bonds more readily to hemoglobin, the stuff which transports oxygen around in the blood, than oxygen does. This means that it doesn't get rid of it, stays there once it's reacted. This reduces the efficiency of the blood to carry oxygen around. This means that it's harder to breathe. It's not harder to breathe, it's you need to breathe more to get the same amount of oxygen into your blood, and in high quantity, 65%, I think, it can kill. It's fatal because your body can't get enough oxygen around, even if you're on full oxygen, and it's just generally fatal.